Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting for Tuesday, July 26th, City of Arroyo Grande. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Dickens.
Here.
Council Board Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Board Member Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Costello.
Here.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara.
Here. Next item is our flag salute, and we have the pleasure of having Jeff Hicks, president of the Rotary Club of Arroyo Grande, is going to lead us in the flag salute. If you would remain standing, Pastor Robert Banker is here from the Open Door Church in Oceano to conduct our invocation.
If you please join with me in the salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shall we pray? Again, our Father, we give thanks unto you again for this privilege and opportunity which has been a custom for so many years, even from the beginning of our country. We thank you for our young men and women who serve in the armed forces, both in war and peace. And Father, we pray that they might be brought home safely and you'd watch over them and provide for them protection so that they might return to their families. We're thankful also for those who serve our communities, those who provide good roads and streets for us to drive in, and those who provide lights and water and the other services that we enjoy so much. And then those who are in the administrative and also the community executive offices of our community, and we ask your blessing upon them, and especially the council tonight. We pray that you would give them wisdom and guidance. You would give them help and reward them for their much-needed service, dear Father, we pray. This we ask in the name of the one who loves us so much. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Jeff, you're still standing up, so I guess you know the drill. If you do the flag salute, we get to hear about Rotary. We know one thing that you're doing these days, but perhaps you can... Go ahead and fill us in.
I'm a quick steady. Yeah, we're excited. Our club is on its 61st year in Rio Grande, and we're excited to continue to support the great community that we're involved with. Obviously, we're all excited about getting the bandstand ready to go and broken in.
Takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward on any item not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and please address the council as a whole. Anyone who would like to come forward during our community comments and suggestions? Items not on this evening's agenda. No takers? Yes. Well, you can certainly talk later when we call the item. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, what about the formula business? Is that on the agenda, or do we speak later, or is it?
It's on the agenda, and we will get to it, and there's some additional information. Okay. Any other questions from the audience during community comments and suggestions? Okay, then we have no takers at the podium. We'll go ahead and close item 7. That will take us to item 8, our consent agenda. This is a group of items that we normally approve in one action. The council's had an opportunity to review these. We also have started the practice of taking public comment on any consent item. Those are on the agenda, published 8A through, there's a lot of them tonight. 8A through 8M, as in Mary. So if you've had a chance to look at those, if there's anyone in the audience that would like to come forward and comment on any consent item, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Okay, seeing none, we will close public comment on the consent agenda. Is there any member of the council that would like to pull an item of consent for further consideration or discussion?
I have none.
None? If not, then I will entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8M.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Items in there, Tim?
No, Mayor Farrar, none that need to be read.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Arnold?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Dickens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Farrar?
Yes. That takes us to item 9, our public hearing, and we have 4 on the agenda tonight. The first, as was mentioned by Mr. Fellows a moment ago, is a consideration of a proposed ordinance defining and restricting formula businesses in the village core downtown. And Rob, your recommendation here, I guess, is to continue this public hearing to August the 9th. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mayor. Unfortunately, staff made an error in the advertising and notification. Essentially, an 8-page ad was published announcing tonight's public hearing, but mailed notice did not go out as scheduled, and it was determined that the advertisement was the original Planning Commission Village Core downtown area only. So with that understanding, we have advised those who have previously spoken to, if possible, attend the August 9th public hearing. But this is an advertised meeting for public input, and there may be some people present who wish to speak.
Okay. Thank you. Before we open public comment on this item, does any member of the council have a question about staff's presentation or the report at this time? Okay. Rob is correct. This meeting was noticed, and as has been explained, it will be coming back to the council on August the 9th. In speaking to a few of you right before the council meeting, there may well be some of you who cannot make it on August the 9th. If that is the case, those of you who are here and can make it back, by the way, I would invite you to come back. And if you can hold your public comment until then, it will be a full hearing. for those of you who cannot come back and would like to speak on this issue tonight, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Once again, we would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and please address the council as a whole. Who would like to go first? Anyone who cannot make it on August the 9th? Feel free if you could come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Linda Diepenbrock, and it's my privilege to speak tonight on behalf of Hillary Kufel, who owns Gina's, and myself. As a resident in the village, I am opposed to any franchise operating within the village area. Village business attracts customers on their own merits. I know the customers come for the first time and the 100th time because they also enjoy the ambience of the village. Its unique character has evolved into a place that welcomes and supports small business owners, and in so doing, truly reflects the sense of history that we are trying to honor and preserve. We cherish our slogan, step back in time and visit historic Arroyo Grande. It is my belief that a Starbucks or Taco Bell have their place, but not in the village. The village also has a responsibility to our greater community. We provide an oasis in this country where box stores and franchises do not intrude. While I understand that everything has its place and purpose, I also strongly believe that part of the village's purpose is to provide a sense of balance to the uninspired monotony that so pervades the consumer's choices elsewhere. Realize a loss of our character would surely mean a decline in our ability to attract visitors and customers, which is a loss to us all. I would ask the council to preserve and nurture the village and its character. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Preferably those who cannot make it on August the 9th. Anyone else who has just a burning desire? Can't wait till August the 9th.
Well, on the unknown factor that I may not be here on August the 9th, I would like to have some comments. I am Heather Jensen. I'm the executive director of the Arroyo Grande Chamber of Commerce, and we have many supporters that we are reflecting the views of our membership, and my elected president is on her way. It's just like you've gone through the first consent agenda so fast tonight. It's like unbelievable, so good for you, but you know, we planned on it being a little bit slower this evening. So if you see Krista walk in, you know, give me the hook and I will certainly step aside. We have heard many, many comments from our Chamber of Commerce members, which does reflect the business community throughout Arroyo Grande, with major concern of more restrictions put on businesses in our community. And we have established a policy which does reflect that concern. And, you know, right now we are concerned about the village. Tomorrow it could be the traffic way. The next day it could be Grand Avenue. Some other time it could be on West Branch Street. We are concerned about more and more government regulations on businesses. Whether it's small businesses or large businesses, it's more of a burden for everyone. And that does then reflect the whole domino effect on the business, the community, all the consumers. So I would just like you to certainly keep in mind that anything that you do, adding more restrictions and more regulations on a business, is detrimental to the survival of small businesses. And it is a serious consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Mike Dennis from, I own Klondike Pizza. And we came here 18 years ago, and there were not many businesses in the village. So I think we have helped grow the village over the 18 years we've been here. I'm not sure where we came up with the number six or that even franchising is a bad thing. I've been involved in franchising previously this for a number of years, and they are good local merchants as well. And they do a lot of good things. We are in the process of filing with the state to franchise. So I don't know that the day that I get that notice that I can franchise, that I'm going to stop doing good things for the community. It doesn't make sense to me. That I understand the character, and we have a lot of guidelines now that we can't paint. We have to have small signs that all the historical information. And I look at it as a freedom thing. I have intellectual property. I don't have any real property in downtown. But I know Mr. Mankins and a number of other people do. And for you to tell them who and who they cannot lease to makes, I think that's a hard issue. I mean, I don't believe we should go down that slippery slope, I guess, that we can legislate who and who we can't lease to as property owners. And for me, you're also legislating who can buy my business if I choose to sell it. I hope to build a number of restaurants over in the valley and have a number of restaurants and work another 10 or 12 years, have 30 years into the Klondike, and I'd like to at some point sell it. I would like to sell it to someone who is financially able to do that. And my guess is that's going to be someone that has some other restaurants. And they may buy this one, and or they may come in and, it could be a franchisee that had 10 Klondikes and wanted to buy my restaurant. Well, under these ordinances, he can't do that because he has 6 outlets. So I would have to sell it to someone who could be less financially strong, meaning that I would have to carry paper. I'm not interested in doing that. So I think there's some things that you may want to look at, the domino effect, I guess. And I also noticed you said fast food, and I don't know whose definition of fast food we're going to be in, because the restaurant industry's definition of fast food includes the deli, the hamburger store, the taco thing, and pizza. So who's defining this? And if we can't have fast food, does that mean Village Grill can never sell? Because that's fast food. I mean, it's a definition.
Okay. It's over 3 minutes.
Okay, well, fine. I'll be here on the 9th as well.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anyone else who preferably won't be here on August the 9th?
Nan Fowler, 630 Sierra Vista Circle in Arroyo Grande. I've owned a small business in the South County for almost 20 years. 15 years of that I was in Arroyo Grande. And when it was time for me to move, I wasn't able to put a bookstore in the building I wanted to rent. So, therefore, I am now in Grover Beach. I've always had cared for Arroyo Grande, would prefer my business in Arroyo, but Grover's working just fine for me anyway. In my experience, I find that competition is very good. When there's more bookstores, I have more business. It will be the same way with everything like that. People like things that are familiar. So if a person comes into the village for one thing, they're bound to look around, see the other businesses, go to the other businesses. Anytime you have an opportunity to show your product to any tourist, anybody, it's a benefit to us. Arroyo Grande already has a slew of guidelines. As long as a business can follow those historic guidelines like you've all put up for it, I believe they should be allowed to open their businesses. It's good for the business owner, it's good for the property owner, and it's good for the citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Aaron O'Connor, rural Arroyo Grande. We moved to this area in 1997 specifically because of the character of the village. I realize these are complicated issues. I certainly can understand the concerns that all sides have, but having spent time in other areas and seeing, what happens to other areas if they're not protected in some way, I can't help but feel that some type of protection, some type of concern, some type of, oversight needs to take place. Again, the specifics, the details, the semantics, whether it's 6, whether it's 10, whether it's 2, I don't know. But as a member of this community living here because I wanted to live in this specific type of environment. I just urge the city council to take steps for protection of the character and of the quality of life. I do not feel that it will decrease property values. Other cities that have protective ordinances seem to have escalated property values because that specific character is unique, it's different, and businesses try to get in there because of that very specific quality. So I think that this would be a step in the right direction. Again, the details, the semantics, the numbers, I leave them to you. But those are my thoughts, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Once again, we're going to do this a lot on August the 9th. We're going to do it again. So if you can reserve your time until then, fine. If you can't make it on August 9th, feel free.
I can't. Mike LaGrosse, 932 Robbins Circle. My wife and I chose to live in this community particularly because of the character of downtown. We travel not only throughout the United States but around the world, and it is the unique aspect of a heart that is defined as a unique characteristic of a community, and we found that to be the case here in the village, and we would feel it is not a prudent element to change that character, and it actually is an enhancement to the community to maintain those criteria. So we're in support of this act by the council, and however it may come out in its final play, we just strongly urge you to preserve the character. We don't want a community that looks like everywhere else. Otherwise, they will choose tourists and others to go everywhere else. So I just concur with the person who just spoke before me as to why we're here and why it was a factor in selecting this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm wondering, can I make, instead of comments, can I ask questions instead?
We would prefer at this point, if you could just make your presentation 3 minutes or less. We're going to have this full public hearing. You came in a little bit late. This particular item was not noticed properly, so we really can't get
into it. I always believe this particular item, we were supposed to start at 7:30. From what Chamber of Commerce told me, the meeting was supposed to start something. Okay, but I can't ask questions right now and then come back with comments on the next general meeting?
You can ask rhetorical questions if you like, and we'll take note of those, and we can get back to you, John, on some of the answers. But
okay, let's do this. And then the first question I've got is I attended the Planning Commission meeting a couple weeks ago, and there's, be honest with you, there's nobody here. But I picked up the memorandum that you guys had, and I've been reading it. And there's a few questions I asked was when you talk about the historical and agricultural setting of the village and downtown core district, true, it is historical, but where's the agricultural? I mean, that was one question I asked. I believe what you guys are trying to do, but I'm just asking. There's a lot of development around here that took away the agricultural, and I'm just asking, you know, that's gone right now as far as I'm concerned. So, and I don't know how a lot of these people feel in here, but I see a lot of the plantations around here have just been developed already as it is. Another thing I wanted to ask was under the formula business standards that you had here, you said if it offers either of the following characteristics in the style, which is distinctive to and standardized among the chain and group, does that mean that if a chain comes in and it has a specific sign, you're not going to allow it? Does that mean if a chain comes in and has uniforms, you're not going to allow it? Or is it a fast food restaurant, you're going to allow it? Okay, if a chain comes in, like for instance, I own a building and somebody comes in and wants to rent my building from me, let's take for a good example McDonald's. and they change their whole value. They change their uniforms, and they change their signage, and they change everything. Because the city has a lot to do with telling you guys or telling the people around here what you can and cannot do. So if they come in with no uniforms or they come in with no signage, are they still allowed to come in? That's my question. And that's on, well, it's under the formula business definition that you have here. You don't have the page, page four, under A and B.
Okay, once again, we have no staff. We have a one-page staff report in front of us this evening because we can't discuss, we're not hearing this item tonight because of the fact that it was not noticed properly. It's going to be heard in full on August the 9th.
So on August 9th, can I come back and ask these questions and they'll be answered?
Absolutely.
And then when these questions are answered, are you going to take into consideration, okay, that's not a chain that's going to come in here?
We'll have an opportunity to really get into it on August the 9th, but right now we haven't had the opportunity to review a staff report. It hasn't been submitted.
Okay, well, I suggest the staff looks at Section 2 on page 4, that definition of formal business. I'm just strongly suggesting that. So when we do come back, we've got answers to it.
One of the things that you might also consider doing, and that goes for all of you who might have questions, and then Rob's going to shoot me, but please, if you just take a few minutes, you're right across the street, sit down with Rob and go over your issues and your questions, because those are the kinds of responses that we're going to get from staff on August the 9th. Okay. Because I'm sure we're going to be asking some of the same questions you are.
Okay.
And we're taking notes on the questions that are asked, and we will get back.
Okay. And all I can say is yesterday I had quite a time to spend with somebody here that spent her whole life here in the village. She's worked here, and she grew up here. And all I can say is, like, she's told me things have totally changed over the last, since 1924, since she's been here. I mean, if you want to keep it historical, I would say just keep the horse troughs out in the street, keep the creamery across the street. And I firmly believe that there's a lot that we can do more for this village besides giving this ordinance. I mean, you've got a lot of land behind you, the city council chambers, that can be developed. And here's a good question. Is a year ago, you talked about developing the block right here. And you talked about what can be built there. So which is good for the city is what you bring in there. I mean, if you're going to keep this ordinance and somebody wants to come in and pay you $50,000 a month, are you going to turn them down for being a so-called chain? And there's a lot of different businesses out there that you don't know of that are chains. I mean, I've got a whole list of them in my pocket, but I'll get into that later. But my question was, are you gonna make a decision in the next few weeks, or are we gonna just prolong this until the next few years? It's like, we've got a lot of issues. I think you ought to step back and consider what we can do with this village here as far as making it a better village than it is now and what it was back in 1924. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, we're going to have a full hearing on August the 9th, and I would ask at this time, unless you have a compelling reason, which will likely be the fact that you cannot show up on August 9th, to please hold your comments until then. Anyone else?
Michael Bondello. I live at 207 McKinley up on Crown Hill. I won't be here on the 9th, and I wanted to get my input in. I was looking at the city website today, and it's interesting. Several paragraphs down, it discusses tourism, how it spurs the local economy, provides impetus for the feast of yearly festivals and celebrations, each one showcasing local products, local pastimes, local businesses. It also says that Christmas in the village charms the young and old. And I'd like to say I just took a walk down the street today, and it still charms whether it's Christmas or not. That's one thing you've got going for you right now, is a village that, as it is a village, and it is charming. And what's charming about it is some of the things that are here and also some of the things that are not here. If I wanted to go to McDonald's, I'd just go another half mile down, and I'm there. This is a unique opportunity we have to really preserve something that is not found anywhere else and is diminishing in terms of similarity all throughout the state. So I would really urge you to consider limiting the types of businesses that do go in here, stick with the locals, and retain the characteristics that make Arroyo Grande so pleasant and wonderful to live in. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else, if you could step to the podium? Again, preferably those that won't be here on August 9th.
Apologize for being late. My name is Val Delaney. I'm a resident here in Aurora Grande, or Napomo Mesa, for the last 15 years. And I represent three restaurants, one being John's, who was just here, another being Kevin, who I think might be here, the Old Village Grill, and both of those in the village, and a third one, Corcoran's. Now, I'd like to take this from an operator's viewpoint. And it's probably the opposite of what most people would feel in here. The operators would love to have a restricted covenant, no competition. But I believe it's a major mistake. And that the reason for that is that if you take competition out of operations, you immediately pay an enormous price for it, and you pay for it down line. What you're trying to do is right. The intention is very admirable, to protect and preserve. There's no doubt in that. I'm not, you know, that's what. But I think it might do just the opposite to you. And I bring that to you from somebody who worked for, before I retired, three large corporations, sat on a couple of boards, and they were all in the service industry. Whether they were American Airlines, Sky Chef, Executive Vice President, whether they were Marriott, or whether they were Host International. And I'm going to tell you, we ran the airport operations. We had no competition. And what happened? Every time the city came to us and said, on a lease negotiation, the rent was going to go up 30%, we didn't argue. We passed it on to the customer. Anytime we got into a union situation, we didn't want to close down an airport. It got all passed on. And why? We had a captive trade and no competition. There's a little similarity in that to me here that worries me as far as, not today, but down line. I guess bottom line, so I don't take too long time. You heard from the chamber. They made their good points. You heard from the Tribune. And I caught up with all of this because I just got back in the country last week. And I read all that, and I said to myself, I agree with it. I agree with it 100%. But there's no human face on that to tell you from an operator's viewpoint what this might do. Okay, first, let me give some examples. Maybe that's the way to do it.
If you could give some quick examples, go ahead and wrap up.
Tony, I will.
Thanks.
And this might tweak a couple of people sitting up there, including yourself, Tony. Walmart.
Won't be the first time.
Walmart, okay?
Yeah.
The village was going to go out of business. Walmart came in. The village is still out there. Why? You got guys like Ira down there who was going to, they were going to bring in the bikes from China. He won't be there. He's there. Why? He goes to work because he wants to go to work. He's a hell of an operator. I bumped into a bunch of Canadian people the other day. They said, geez, that's a great bike shop. Because he's a competitive man who gives the right price in this business. Now, if you have that, okay, you don't have to worry about it. Because it's a short time, let me pick on somebody. Kevin, okay? Kevin, you think, would be the last guy to want In-N-Out Burger across the street from him. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be absolutely fabulous. It'll bring more people in with a great company that would do a great job for the village. And you can restrict them any way you want. You will have all the restrictions built in, whether you want them or not. You don't have to have that. And you know what would happen? Kevin's quality would more than beat him. His service would be equal to it. His pricing would be competitive. His menu was bigger. He doesn't have to worry. Why? Because he's not worried about competition. You only worry about competition when you're closing your doors out here at 6 o'clock at night, which half of your people are doing, which you're not competitive then. Okay. So I guess I'm getting close to home, but what I guess I'm trying to say is that I think you're going to hurt yourself, because I was going to bring down the franchise book from the restaurants where I have 1,000 franchise companies. They're not all good, but they're not all bad, okay? You could bring them in. Let me tell you, if Barnes & Noble came to me and I was sitting in your seat and said, I want to put a little Barnes & Noble out here and go, I'd take them tomorrow. Under this, you couldn't. If Crate & Barrel said, hey, we can do one in here. Tony, what do you think? And it was a good deal, and he had the place, and he would do meet all your... Couldn't do it under this. I think you're setting yourself up for something in which you're limiting yourself to not the growth. And look at 11 cities around you who kept their characters of their downtown and didn't do this, but kept their restrictions so that a McDonald's, somebody was up here talking, said, we want to be in there, McDonald's. Oh, what the hell? You know you can stop McDonald's. They've got to have an arch. We have no arches in the village. They got to have the yellow paint. They won't change that, the corporate. I know, I'm running over the time. Don't do it, folks.
Come back and see us on August 9th. More, you can have more air time.
I will be quick, I promise. I'm Krista Codel, chairman of the board for the Arroyo Grande Chamber, and I know that the chamber will be represented on August 9th, but I'm not sure that myself can be here. So I did just wanted to address the group very quickly. You have received our letters and policy on the formula business restriction ordinance, and so you know where we stand, and it's been reiterated here tonight. But I did just want to address all of you and let you know that it is our membership who is driving this and who obviously is against putting any more restrictions down here in the village. And as has already been mentioned, there are sufficient restrictions and guidelines already in place, and we would like to preserve the village in the way that it is now, too, and the unique character that it adds. But looking very far-sighted, we believe that this ordinance could be a real hindrance to the city as a whole and to the village. So with that, I will leave you for the evening, and thank you for your consideration.
Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I promise that I will not be here on the 9th. I'll be out of town. I'm Chuck Fellows. I live on Canyon Way in Arroyo Grande, pardon me, and I'm chairman of Preserve the Village and on the city's planning commission. And I'll make this quick. Carmel, California, Sanibel, Florida, Winslow, Washington, Solvang, California, Pacific Grove, California, San Juan Bautista, California, Cooperstown, New York, and other cities across America and even in other parts of the world prohibit formula businesses from operating in their historic or otherwise unique downtowns. San Francisco even has several neighborhoods that are considered special enough that formula businesses are prohibited from those neighborhoods. Why would these cities and neighborhoods do such a thing? Is it because it's bad for business? Of course not. Would such a prohibition be bad for Arroyo Grande? Maybe so, if it applied to the entire city. What you will be considering 2 weeks from now, as I understand it, would be an ordinance that would keep fairly large chains, seven or more locations, as well as large chains, as well as really big businesses, as well as multinational corporations from operating in Arroyo Grande's historic village. That is the village core downtown and village mixed-use zones. The other 5 square miles of the city would not be affected by the ordinance. The passage of an ordinance prohibiting formula businesses, and for some people who aren't quite sure what we're talking about, that is chains and franchises such as McDonald's, Taco Bell, Jamba Juice, Subway, Gap, Rite Aid, Quiznos, Starbucks, and so on, prohibiting them from coming to our village would do the following, in my opinion. It would support small business owners, the ones that don't own their buildings. And as I'm sure you know, almost every single village business is family-owned and operated. So the ordinance is very family-friendly, as well as being good for small business. It will help retain the character and charm of the village that we all like to come home to after work if we don't work here, and it's such an effective tourist draw. It will encourage free enterprise for small business. There's so much talk about the lack of affordable housing in our area, places to live. In the village, we still have affordable housing for startup businesses to do business in, so that a single mom or a young couple can open their own business, just like Annie Ramey did down between the old Bank of America, which is the Wardrobe now, and Posey's, and Kameya Rodtelis once did on Bridge Street, and Ira Hughes is still in business on Bridge, and Celia Hughes, no relation, and Willis and Bennett, and Hillary and Susan, Gina's, Verena and Mike, at Verena's and the Andrini's, and so on and so on. You see what I mean. It will also help preserve an area where customers can still be waited on by the owner of the business, the person who knows the most about what he or she sells. It will preserve this little piece of small-town America that we call our village, and thanks for listening.
Thank you. Okay, once again, folks, we're not hearing this item tonight. I have a one-page staff report which says we're going to continue it to August the 9th. So one more presentation, and then we're going to conclude this item.
I'm going to be out of town, too, I promise. I'm not going to be here. Northern California. Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. Kristen Barnich, 212 Canyon Way. I'm here to speak in favor of the formula business restrictions in the village. I'm not an owner of a business in the village, but a stay-at-home mom who patronizes the village almost daily. This ordinance will help keep our village, which is the gem of Arroyo Grande, unique and charming, and that in turn will keep it economically viable for the merchants and their families. The tourists visit our village because it doesn't look like the town they are visiting from. These people seek out an escape from the cookie-cutter community where they live. They come here for unique products and services, which are so hard to find in this day and age. The locals love the village because there are so few historic downtowns like it left in California, and it is the hub of our close-knit community. I want to give you a few personal examples. My family travels each year to the Northern California Redwoods, and on the way up Highway 101, there's a small town called Garberville, which is funky, unique, with not a chain store in sight. We always, without fail, pull off the highway to eat at the Eel River Cafe. This cafe is straight out of the past, complete with huge booths, a counter, large neon sign, and awesome food and service. This one business draws us as tourists to it year after year. If the main street of Garberville held chain store after chain store, we would just keep driving and stop somewhere else. Another example, my husband's family owns a cabin in Pinecrest, California, and the town of Sonora is 30 miles south of it. Sonora has two main shopping areas. One area houses Starbucks, McDonald's, Walmart, Osh Hardware. The other area, which is on the old highway and is the historic downtown, has only family-owned businesses. Bakeries, coffee shops, toy stores, ice cream parlors, bookstores, etc. Without pause, we choose to spend our day and our money in the quaint historic area because of its charm, its ambiance, and its uniqueness. Restricting formula businesses in a small portion of downtowns is not a new concept. Other cities have similar ordinances in place and are very successful. There are many, many areas in Arroyo Grande for chain stores. Please, let's keep the village a charming and special place. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this time I am going to close the public hearing and invite all of you to come back on August the 9th, and we will continue this. But first, we need a motion to do so.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we continue the consideration of proposed ordinance defining and restricting formula businesses in the village core downtown and village mixed-use historic character design overlay zoning districts VCD and VMUD-2.4 development code amendment case number 05-009 to the August 9th meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. And once again, our apologies for the mix-up on the noticing. certainly this is an item that we expect will have at least this number of people on August the 9th, and we would welcome you back. That will take us to our next public hearing, which is 9B, consideration of a proposed ordinance amending Chapter 15.04 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code, updating the uniform building and related codes. Don't you folks want to stick around for this one? Sorry, Terry, we're losing our audience here. So.
Mayor Farrar, we're not competition for the previous item. Good evening to Mr. Mayor and the members of the council. As we introduce this item this evening, this agenda item, I would also like to introduce to the City Council our newly hired building official who has been with us several months now. This is Jonathan Hurst. Jonathan stepped into the shoes that Larry Schmidt had so ably filled and is going right along the same path that Larry has, and has a lot of the same qualities and a lot of the same goals that Larry had in working with our community. So I proudly introduce Jonathan. He will be here at the second reading if this item does advance to that stage for the next city council meeting. To the item, we are basically following a three-year cycle that every 3 years or so, and unfortunately I say or so because sometimes this doesn't always happen this way at the state, there is a new cycle of codes that are introduced that govern the building industry. These codes are adjusted for various reasons. Technology is one of the reasons. Laws change, the different legal approaches to things, and new products are incorporated that allow these codes to change. So every 3 years, we try to update these. If they are not adopted by the city, they actually do become law. After a period of inaction by the city, they automatically become law. So we try to keep ahead of that, and we adopt these as soon as we possibly can. So tonight, you are going to be adopting or considering the adoption of the latest versions of the Uniform Administrative Code, the Uniform Building Code, the Uniform Mechanical Code, Code for Building Conservation, the Plumbing Code, and the National Electrical Code. And I would turn it back to the City Council for any questions, and I'm going to have John handle those questions because this is his field of expertise, if you have any. Otherwise, the recommendations stand. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Questions from you. We're turning it over to you if you have any questions.
Okay. I thought maybe you had something to add, Jonathan. Okay. No. Okay. I heard that you were more outspoken than that, that you weren't afraid of Terry.
Not a bit.
Okay. Any questions on the staff report?
I have none.
Okay. This is a public hearing. If there are any members of the audience that would like to come forward on item 9B, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. No one? Okay. Close public comment. Bring this back. Councilmember Arnold, why don't you start us off?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really don't have any problem with this. I'm glad to see that the city is out in front of this, and it's an appropriate step, so I'm in favor of the adoption of these codes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I have no comments either. This is updating our codes to meet the new laws, and I think it's just prudent that we do so. We've done this annually, I believe, since I've been here. Yeah, so not a problem.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie?
Yeah, I, too, have no problems with this or anything to add. I'm actually a little surprised that we have to take formal action, that they don't just do it for us, but I'm sure it's coming.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
And I, too, agree. It just makes common sense to adopt these measures. And I think it's just prudent to do it sooner rather than later. We could simply ignore it and it would become effective anyway, but I think that it's a sign to our community that we're staying on top of the codes and we're going to have them in place. We're going to enforce them. We're going to do what's good for the community. I fully support bringing these codes up to date.
Thank you. I, too, as well. support this item. I appreciate all of you, and particularly in Building and Fire, being proactive on this. And with that, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to introduce an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending Chapter 15.04 of Title 15 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code, adopting by reference those certain codes known and designated as the California Building Standards Code, including the California Building Code, the California Electrical Code, the California Plumbing Code, the California Mechanical Code, the 1997 editions of the Uniform Housing Code, the Uniform Code for the Abatement of Dangerous Buildings, and the Uniform Administrative Code, which shall also include the appendices to the 1997 edition of the Uniform Building Code and the 2000 editions of the Uniform Plumbing and Mechanical Codes, and such codes as amended shall be the Uniform Building Codes, Uniform Building Laws of the City.
I'll second that.
You want to repeat that, please?
Yeah.
I think this is a record. I think this is probably the longest ordinance in my almost 8 years up here that I've seen. Okay, we have a motion. Was there a second?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes, thank you. That takes us to our next public hearing, 9C. Consideration of Development Code Amendment 05-008, Tentative Parcel Map 0503, Conditional Use Permit Application. The applicant is Gary White. Location is 1400 West Branch.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council members. This is three separate actions tonight: a development code amendment, a tentative parcel map, and a conditional use permit specific development plan. Background on this project: the site is previously approved for a professional office complex of 5 1- and two-story buildings. There we go. It's recently been rezoned from Plan Development 1.1 to office mixed use, and this project has been seen numerous times in a pre-application phase by the Architectural Review Committee, the Planning Commission, and the City Council. The site is a 2.68-acre parcel on the corner of West Branch Street and Camino Mercado. It has sloping terrain. It has native and non-native vegetation, including mature oaks, and surrounding land uses is the Premier Inn, office complex, a cemetery, and the Levitts. The project is for 103-unit Hampton Inn and Suites, which will be three stories plus a basement, total 61,366 square feet. Also a 6,000-square-foot restaurant on a separate parcel. The project includes 128 off-street parking spaces, and there's three entry-exit driveways from Camino Mercado, with the one closest to West Branch being a right turn, entry and exit only. This project has been modified through the rounds of pre-application review. The project now has an increased front setback of 10 feet, which gives the front setback varies between 30 and 38 feet. The building has been reduced in length by 15 feet. The applicant proposes utilization of a basement space, which would allow a 1,541-square-foot conference room. A pedestrian entry emergency exit is proposed off from West Branch Street, and there's been increased architectural articulation of the West Branch Street frontage, which includes trellised and walled patios, decks with French and sliding doors, and wrought iron balcony rails. This is an overview of the site. Basically, I don't have a pointer here. The P's represent four tiered levels of parking and the three entries from Camino Mercado. The hotel is L-shaped, and the restaurant is on the corner of the lot. There's been an environmental review of this project, based an initial study and a draft mitigated negative declaration. Potential impacts related to water, air quality, transportation, biological resources, and utility service system were reviewed, and mitigation measures were created to help mitigate these potential impacts. With regard to water, public work staff is preparing an analysis to be presented at the August 9th meeting, which provides short and long-range projections for water usage and demand. Based upon projects currently proposed or approved, compared with water supply, and based upon proposed measures for increased supply and water savings, staff utilized data from this study to assess the capacity to serve the proposed Hampton Inn project, which includes the restaurant. This analysis indicates that the projected savings from conservation measures and the addition of well number 10 will provide sufficient water supply to meet the projected demand when all projects currently approved in the Hampton Inn proposed project are constructed. If this and other projects are constructed prior to the completion of well number 10 and the city experiences dry weather this upcoming year, there could be a period when demands exceed supply. However, staff believes that the city will be able to address a brief temporary shortfall through purchase of water on a temporary basis from Oceano or additional conservation measures, most likely the temporary purchase of additional water. Discussions are underway with Oceano to establish an agreement to address this need. Keep in mind that these figures are presented only to show the capability to meet the impact of existing projects and this project. Other measures will be included in this analysis presented on August 9th to demonstrate how supply will be further increased to meet other long-term projected demands of the community. And the chart that's on the screen shows a draft analysis of these water figures. And I could bring this up on the screen at any time for you. Throughout the site, there will be use of retaining walls, and these walls allow ADA paths of travel throughout the site, parking areas, oak tree preservation, and transitions from surrounding topography. There'll be two types of retaining walls that you see on the plans, vertical retaining walls and sloping retaining walls. Heights of these walls are called out specifically on your plans and range from 1.5 to 19.5 feet. There are 12 coast live oaks on the site. 5 will be protected, 2 will be relocated on the site, and 5 will be removed and replaced with mitigation. The table on page 5 of the staff reports gives details on each tree. And this shows the trees that will be protected in their locations, and also that 2 trees that will be located under the hotel could be transplanted to areas on the site in the parking area and in front of the hotel. Economic development. The hotel use on this site was part of a recent economic development strategy. And it's estimated that the hotel can provide approximately $200,000 to $250,000 a year in TOT tax revenues, and the restaurant would also generate sales tax revenue. With that, it's recommended that the City Council adopt a mitigated negative declaration and introduce an ordinance amending the zoning map to designate the subject property as Plan Development 1.1 and adopt a resolution approving tentative parcel map 05003 and conditional use permit specific development plan, case number 04009, allowing the construction of a hotel and restaurant. And staff is here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, before I spread this around, I did one quick question. Maybe somebody can help me with this. I looked through this stack, which was quite formidable this week. And, Jim, on page 4 of the staff report, down at the bottom where it addresses the issue of trees, an arborist report from the previously approved office project dated December 1st, 1998, and an addendum dated May 8th, 2005. I could not for the life of me find that. Is that in the staff report?
It should be in the staff report. I'll see if I can find a copy here.
I think the reason why I bring it up is because there was some discussion last time about many of the oak trees. I think one in which I described as a potentially as a landmark oak, and there was also some observations, and I can't recall who made them, that perhaps largely due to the excessive rain we had this year, that the health of a lot of those trees had improved. But I was looking around, and I could not find that May 8th addendum. Anyway, And I had a couple of other issues, but I will go ahead and entertain questions or clarifications in the staff report from council members. Anyone have an issue? Council Member Arnold?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I'm going to start off with the trees also. On page 5, a tree item, I guess it was 5A, it actually, the vigor was listed as good, the condition was listed as good, but the arborist did not have a recommendation on that, and the project proposal was removed without mitigation. And I guess my question was, there is a note that the tree had actually grown from being a sapling to actually a sizable tree during the time from the original report. And so I assume that that was picked up, that the fact that it had become a sizable tree in the supplemental report that was done May 8th. And so I was wondering why we would not be mitigating or actually even maybe proposing to have that tree relocated, seeing as how both of the columns, it was listed as a good tree, and it's obviously a younger tree, so the likelihood possibly that it would survive moving. So that was one of my questions. Then also, I did not see anywhere in the report, and I may have missed it because, as the mayor mentioned, it is a sizable report, any reference to that if we were to approve this tonight that it would go back to ARC for the approval of, like, the landscape plan of the final colors and such. Is that in here, and did I miss it?
First of all, with regard to the trees, the two trees that are identified in the addendum as having grown to a adequate size, 5A is, as 5 was originally, in the proximity of the building and would need to be removed or transplanted. Staff worked with the applicant towards transplanting the best of the trees, and 6 and 7 were determined to be the most logical, largest trees that could be relocated. That certainly could be superseded by the arborist in final analysis with the landscape plan yet to be approved by the ARC. I think rather than the project proposal of remove without mitigation, that any oak removal that would qualify as a tree, 5A and 7A specifically, should be removed, but with mitigation, and that would require a 3-to-1 replacement.
Okay. And as far as the issue of it going back to the ARC, did I miss that, or I didn't see it as one of the conditions of approval?
It's condition of approval number 16, and it says final building colors, details, materials, and landscaping plan shall be reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee and approved by the Community Development Director. This approval tonight, I added tonight, is for mass scale and site layout only.
Okay, and there it is. I figured it was probably there, but I wanted to make sure that I brought that up. Another question, as far as the mitigation of trees, and also I know our ordinance is the 3-to-1, and in here there's mention of the street trees being 24 inches. There would be nothing to stop us to propose that some of the trees possibly 36 and 48-inch boxes, seeing as how that has been a real issue with, I think, some of the members that the trees do grow quickly, they survive. I think to help offset the mass of the building, that would be a possible recommendation. Nothing in our ordinance would forbid us from going above a 24-inch tree, is there?
The landscape plan yet to be approved would be the time at which the detailed size and species of trees and their locations would be determined. I'd note that on page 9, one of the Planning Commission recommendations is that there should be a change of replacement trees from a minimum of the 2-foot box to a 5 or 6-foot. That would certainly be within the realm of the ARC's review, and it could be established at that time larger size could be imposed.
Okay, and then the last question, the trees are obviously a big deal, and the landscaping in general. And I discussed this a little bit with the applicant. Has there been any discussion about possibly bonding for the landscape? Because I know that was a concern of the mayor's as far as the soil over there being not as prime as some other locations. And obviously it is important that the landscape does survive. Has there been any discussion about having some kind of bonding put in place for maybe, say, 2 years or something so that there's basically a little bit of a stick to ensure that the landscape does survive? I know it's in the hotel's best interest to do so, but I think so that the city could feel a little more comfortable with knowing that it would.
In all of the final approvals that the city determines, including a landscape plan, there are provisions for performance bonding, labor and materials bonding, so that those can be included. There can also be special standards requested by the Architecture Review Committee because of the soils conditions. We don't have at this point a detailed landscape plan. It would depend somewhat on the size and species of trees, but a cost estimate would normally be prepared and a performance bond posted to assure completion and survival of a landscape.
Okay, the second word there, survival, because a lot of times it would be completion, but the survival wouldn't be guaranteed. So that's all I have right now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor. Jim, as you pointed out, that this item has been before us on numerous occasions, and I just want to make note of a couple of things. And I want to go back to one of the slides that you had to ask a couple questions. You had a slide up dealing with project modifications and listed those modifications. And I'm assuming those modifications came forth after the pre-application process. We saw this kind of as a cursory, a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago. Are these modifications that you're listing here, were those modifications that have changed since the last time we saw it, or are these modifications since the pre-app?
The last time you saw it was treated as a pre-app, and all of the modifications listed were made since the council's previous discussion of this item.
So these have all been done in the last, I want to say, 6 weeks.
Yes, I believe 2 months ago.
Correct. Okay. One of the things that I brought up at that, and maybe you can help me find this, and I'm going to go back to the trees. We have a wonderful, even though it's outdated a bit, but we have a wonderful arborist report. And one of the problems that I have with this report is I can't find anywhere in all these documents where when we have tree number 1, 2, 3, and 4 so far identified, I don't have a map that shows me where those trees are at. Unless you can do, is that within our packet?
The location of the trees, if you want to put the grading plan or the, right.
I can't see it from here, and I don't have the map open to me, but are those are actually identified with numbers on them on this map?
The main plan packet that you receive from the architect, and it's labeled sheet A1, shows the trees numbered and also the placement of trees to be relocated on the site.
three large maps.
Speaking of trees, sometimes you wonder with all this paper we have up here just what we're doing to them.
So, Rob, if I could go back to your recommendation in regards to any tree that is slated for removal, regardless of what the summary of the project tree conditions are that were provided by the arborist and the project proposal as outlined on page 5, you're suggesting that all of these be mitigated, any tree that is going to be removed?
Yes, there are 5 identified for being saved. The ones that are noted to be removed, including 5A and 7A, would be removed, but with 3-to-1 mitigation. And there are 2 trees that have been identified for transplant.
Can you specifically address tree number 3 and why that can't be saved?
Tree number 3 is at the West Branch end of the hotel adjacent to the restaurant building. There is no way in which that tree could be retained on the site without a substantial reduction in the footprint of the hotel. It is the opinion of the arborist that the tree would be extremely difficult to transplant because of its size, and because of its size, it would be less likely to survive. So the applicant proposed trees of a smaller but still substantial size to transplant. That, again, is a feature of the plan that I think it's a unavoidable impact, and the thought there would be certainly larger compensating mitigation trees might be recommended by the Architectural Review Committee outside of the building envelope.
So when you say a substantial reduction of rooms, what does that mean?
I've looked. There would be at least 9 to 12 of the rooms would be eliminated. If that tree were kept, it could be more than that, given the drip line. There are changes of grade that are proposed. There would be difficulty in maintaining that tree in its existing location. You'd have to basically terminate the end of the building at least 4 rooms back, and there are 3 or 4 rooms on each side of the hotel aisle. And there's still a very substantial change of grade in that vicinity to keep the hotel at the lowest profile. The corner continues to drop. The topography drops towards Levitt's corner. And the elevation that has been established for the finished floor at the bottom level is below current grade.
And one of the comments that I've made in the past is recommending that the setback, and I see in the modifications that we've moved it back at least another 10 feet, but actually bring it back so that the majority would be offset, that we could actually look at maybe saving some of these trees. What would be the substantial or the significant changes in moving the hotel and reconfiguring it towards the back of the lot as opposed to the front of the lot?
It is already embedded into the hill. To a significant degree, the entire lower level, which is at the corner elevation closest to Levitt's, is a basement. So you would end up with, if you attempt to embed it even further in the hill, a totally different configuration of the hotel. This plan in preliminary review was the most conservative of existing trees. The trees that are within the footprint of the building essentially are tree number three, four, five, seven, and eight or six, depending upon how the trees are numbered. And they've been numbered in two different sequences in the previous reports. I think six and eight have been transposed in various plans. But the most substantial trees on the site are tree number two and the cluster of trees 9, 10, and 11. Those are retained despite relatively poor health of tree number two. It was determined to be in poor health, but poor health for an oak might last another 10 to 20 years. The rest of the trees that are affected are itemized in your report.
And one last question I have in regards to the mitigated negative or the mitigation measure. I'm sorry. I believe I'm looking at page 8 of the negative declaration in regards to water use. It looks like we're estimating approximately 18 acre feet for this total project annually. Can you review the mitigation measures that are going to be put in place to help offset those water uses?
So under water mitigation measure number one, the applicant shall complete measures to neutralize the estimated increase in water demand created by the project by either implementing an individual water program that utilizes fixtures and practices, including the use of drought-tolerant landscaping, drip irrigation, and mulch to the greatest extent possible. Lawn areas and areas requiring spray irrigation shall be minimized. Those are the four mitigation measures.
And the reason I bring that up, Jim, is because I've made comment on this in the past. I think if we were to take all four of these mitigation measures away and not have them listed here, all but one, which would be number three, are basically city requirements anyways. They have to do them. The actual participation in a Project Planet Linens and Towels reuse program is certainly voluntary, but I think most hotels do that anyways. And what I'm getting at is that we have an issue of water use, and we're looking at a project, in my opinion, that has some pretty massive scale, size and scale. And what I would like to see there is that we actually look at reduction of the project. Reduction of the project is the really only true measure that's going to address these issues. All these other mitigation measures for water use are going to be part of a regular construction anyways. They're part of our uniform building code, which I can't see as being environmental mitigations if they're not over and above what would be required anyways. But I guess I'm getting into more comments than questions. So that'll continue. That will conclude my comments at this point, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or clarifications on the staff report?
Just one, and maybe this is going to be best for the applicant, and they put together this great model for us. But now that it's changed, I wonder if someone can point out how it affects the changes on this model. I realize it moves back 10 feet, but it also moves up. And I'm wondering if either one of you could step up and point that out so we would have some idea on this. What affect the physical changes in the way that the hotel sitting on the lot would be.
Do we have a handheld mic? Good. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob.
The building has been moved back 10 feet from the West Branch Street location. So in dimension, that's about this point on the model. The restaurant has also been moved back to match the alignment. The setback then from West Branch Street is 30 to 38 feet. To do that, they modified the northwest end of the hotel, shortening it by 15 feet. They changed the elevation approximately a foot and a half in height. And the natural finish grade still remains approximately the entry element of the hotel in terms of the minimum elevation and the maximum elevation. So this end of the building did not move. Obviously, a much more substantial. There are 4-foot retaining walls separating each of the terraces between the parking levels, and there's a short retaining wall in front of the restaurant and between the restaurant and the hotel, and then that increases in height to about 10 feet at the corner where the parking lot and the hotel come together. So the bottom floor level would be facing a garden adjacent to the hotel and would be at grade on the terrace facing West Branch.
Just one quick clarification. That the when you talk about the main building, the roof line of the main building remains at the same height, you know, let's call it above sea level for lack of a better, at the same height as it was in the original. Or has the roof line moved up 2 feet as well?
Yes, a foot and a half is the change in elevation to the building.
So the roof and everything moved up?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
That was my own. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of quick questions. One of the issues was condition 115. The applicant shall reimburse the city for the plan check fees for the previous project approved for the site. Now, do I understand that the previous plan was submitted for the 5 buildings, and we checked it? We're just not sure whether the fee was paid for the plan check?
We haven't been able to confirm it.
The plan check was complete. The project is fully approved. We're not absolutely certain that the fees were paid, but we believe that they were paid. Normally, the full fees would be recalculated at the time of issuance.
And in terms of the water usage for this project versus the commercial project, what was the anticipated water usage for the commercial project? Do we know that off the top?
I do have it if you just give me a second.
Sure.
If you have another question, I can give it to you.
Okay. Let's see. I think the other questions I had were asked already by the other members up here.
Well, I'll ask one if you don't have another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it is related to water, and while Jim is digging for a response on the comparative usage, Rob or Steve, there was mention of the potential agreement with Oceano. I need to know more about that. If we're going to use it as a identified source for development, I need to know more about that in terms of how much we're going to get, at what cost, if it's been determined yet. I don't know if
we're negotiating and proposing to utilize. The initial, draft discussion involves a very temporary use, maybe a two-year period, only because that's what we've identified in our plan, where we have a two-year period where we're somewhat subject to the possibility of not having adequate supply before some of these other measures kick in. If a longer period becomes necessary, I think they'd be open to negotiating that. And the existing proposal is to buy it at, and we're still trying to work out whether we need to buy Lopez water or unused groundwater. Our first proposal was for excess Lopez water and just purchase it at their cost, which is a benefit to us because we get it at the same cost we're paying for the other Lopez water. It's a benefit to them because they're paying for the water anyway, so this is additional revenue for them. So it could be definitely a win-win situation, but they haven't made any commitment at this time. But we're pretty confident something can be worked out.
So we're talking about sources that we mutually share in the form of groundwater or Lopez water. We're not talking about their unused allocation of state water.
We would not, no. We're not able to purchase state water or use state water without a vote of a vote of the public.
Not even if it's secondhand water.
Right.
That didn't sound right either. Okay.
I've got no more questions.
Did you find the information, Jim?
I did. I knew I had it scribbled down here somewhere. The previously approved project water usage was 2.45 acre feet per year.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Arnold?
Thank you. I did have one last question, kind of follow up to Councilmember Dickens. As far as the mitigation for the water use, one of the things that I caught, which I would guess is not probably, but I don't know this, required, is the instant water heaters located around. That is not a standard requirement, is it? Because I see that as a potential large water saver. Instead of having to run the tap until you get to the warm water, you'd have the instant hot. Is that required for hotels, or is that something that we're asking special?
It came from the conditions of the previous project to use instant water heaters, and I have not heard an issue with it from the applicants.
But do we know if that's would have been required had they not proposed that, or that we had not proposed that? I mean, is that standard by the building code?
Can I just jump in real quick? It's standard in hotel operation because you want instant water at the room. You don't want them independent of whether you've got water to waste or not, so you can use a circulator pump. Okay. They all use circulator. It's an energy saver, clear energy saver, but it's not water saver.
So it is standard operating. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, clarifications on the staff report? If not, this is a public hearing, and I will open it up for public comment. We typically allow the applicant to go first in these matters, and will not change from
plan sketches that working with us and so forth. I'm very appreciative of that, and I think as the project has progressed, we've made many adjustments, and I hope that we've addressed as many of the issues as we can regarding the project. As has been mentioned already tonight, this is our third presentation before the council. And previously, we have addressed a number of questions and issues which have been raised. I'd like to just review some of the highlights, and then if you had any other questions, I'd be more than happy to address those. This was a rendering that we did some time ago that shows the view of the building on the off-ramp. As you approach Branch Street and Camino Mercado, this illustrates the great access and visibility for this project, and I think the visual impact we believe would be a very beautiful building as an amenity and an enhancement to the community. This is another view that the council asked us to take a look and see what the view of the building looked like coming from the other direction, coming from the north, looking toward the hotel property. We took some photos. We superimposed those photos over a three-dimensional model. And you can see these existing trees that the trees that are shown between Levitt's and the building are the existing trees. Those do not take into account any of the planned future trees along that west elevation. This one may be a little difficult to see. Let me just walk it in front here.
Let me get the walk around mic.
Thank you. This is a photograph or a series of photographs of a slope block wall that we did on a project a few years ago in the city of Mission Viejo. These walls lean back at an angle of about 26 degrees. We think they're a very attractive wall, and we would plan to plant plantings on the wall in a similar fashion. This happens to be a very, very tall wall. And a very long wall, much longer and taller than the wall that we've proposed here. But I think you can see from the detail there are allowances and openings in the wall to allow the water to drain through. That also allows for soil for the growth of plants on the wall. So this is the wall that we're proposing right now along this line here over to the end of the pool area. These trees, the larger circles represent an accent tree, and then we have some vertical massing trees proposed that are tucked in pockets up tight against the building. And that's interwoven with a variety of ground covers that would be planted along that slope. And then this is a sketch that the landscape architect provided showing the full maturity of approximately the size of the trees and the locations as related to this preliminary landscape plan. So I know that was one of the concerns that requested that we address in our last meeting, and we felt like with the additional footage there and the landscape that we've taken a lot of care to try to improve and enhance the landscaping along West Branch. Now, in addition to that, we've also added along West Branch Street some trellises and some low walls along the first level. I don't have any renderings or pictures of that, but that is illustrated on our building elevations. If you look along the West Branch elevation in your packet, you will see those additional patios, they're outdoor patios with the low wall with a trellis above. And these elements were added to enhance that elevation and extend the lowest level of the mass a little bit closer to the street and give it more of a stepped back effect along the West Branch elevation. The number of rooms has been reduced by four. Rob was very accurate in his description of the building change, except one item. The far end of the building did move 5 feet closer because we took out a full stack of rooms in the center, not on the end, and pushed the West Branch building 10 feet to the north, and the other end came back 5 feet because one full stack of rooms has been removed. I think the addition of a conference space is significant. We have a meeting room on the on what we call level three, which is the main entrance level. And that meeting room will accommodate approximately 100 people at full occupancy. The conference room in this on the second level, which is just below the main entry level, will accommodate approximately 220 people at full occupancy. And hopefully that could meet some of the needs of the citizens in the community for meeting space in a beautiful hotel. I think there's something I'm forgetting, but that's all I've got at the moment. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to ask, maybe can we point out on, I don't know, maybe you can take one of the laser points.
And that one extends over to that location. There's about a 18-inch wall that we may or may not really need in the final analysis. I'd rather not have a wall there. If we can just accomplish it with a slope, personally, I'd prefer that. But right now in our plan, we show an 18-inch high wall approximately there, and it comes in between the restaurant and the hotel. And at this point, it graduated up to, I think, about 8 or 10 feet, and it reaches its maximum height in this corner. There's actually a low level down in here of rooms that face out on this wall. And then it turns and comes back up to the hotel right here, because there are rooms that face out onto that wall at the lowest level.
Thank you.
You bet.
Is that it? Any other questions for the applicant? All right. This is, once again, a public hearing, and we may have more questions later.
Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to come forward and comment on item 9C, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Thank you.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street, also on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce. We feel that this is an excellent opportunity for Arroyo Grande to put a hotel in. It's something we desperately need. I think one of the things that has not been discussed or mentioned very much but was discussed tonight in the staff report is the amount of income potential for the city from this kind of a hotel. The existing plan previously for an office building would have had very, very limited income, basically just a little bit of property tax. The city is in need for funds, and this would be an excellent method of acquiring funds for the city, as well as providing an excellent hotel and possibly another nice restaurant into the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Peggy Harlan. I live at 1315 Hillcrest Drive. And I saw the article in the paper, and I've seen your lovely drawing. And it leaves something out. There's only three cars in this. Now, I don't know if any of you have been at that intersection, but one thing I haven't heard addressed is the impact. Our traffic problems are quite great on Branch Street, in case you don't know it. Fortunately, I live on the other side of the freeway, but I do have to go over there. What I would haven't heard is anybody, the consideration for the traffic situation at this intersection. Now, if you have 104 rooms, is what it said in the paper, that would be 104. 70% would be 72.8 rooms, which would mean 72 cars that were to be parked there. There might be two people or more. But things that I really am interested in, just from a citizen that uses that side of the road quite a bit, even if I live over on the other side, I'm happy to hear that you have considered water, because water in the past has not always come up. And I would also like to know, just out of curiosity, what about that little motel up on top of the hill. What does that do to their view, this plan that you have there? Anyway, that's what I have.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else would like to come forward? No one else? Okay. We will close public comment on 9C and bring this back to the council. Councilmember Dickens, why don't you start us off if you're ready to go?
Sure, Mr. Mayor, may as well. I'm going to start off by hopefully maybe addressing the last speaker's comments, because I think those are definitely important. And even though they're the traffic mitigation issues are lacking in its discussion this evening, they have been discussed in quite length at other public hearings as well. And part of the reason why it's not one of the major issues is because we've actually addressed that to some degree. There will be a signal placed at the Camino Mercado prior to this project, I believe, being constructed. And that's one of our major mitigation issues for traffic, which will hopefully help cars move through that intersection, even though it's not going to decrease the amount of use. And this will definitely be an impact. I think from my perspective in regards to the impact on the existing hotels, what I found in the past is that there's actually there's a net increase. It's actually beneficial to have those types of uses in the same area. So from an economic standpoint, I would look at that being a real positive, having two hotels next to each other, and I don't see that being a negative. Actually, my colleague next to me could probably address that much better than I can, being a manager of a hotel. I would like to say that I certainly agree wholeheartedly with the chamber's position in regards to this land use in its hotel. I support that. I think it needs to be a hotel on this particular site. I think that we would benefit greatly from the the TOT tax. The ability to have more units available for folks that are tourists in this particular area who would like to come to this wonderful town of Arroyo Grande. So I, too, support the idea of a hotel on this particular site. In regards to the retaining walls, Rob, as you kind of showed, I don't have a problem with the retaining walls. I think that the way it's listed or the way it's designed, especially the things you're looking at doing on this particular site, are going to be a real it's going to be hidden in such a way that it's going to really blend with this particular site. Since 9 months ago, when this came before pre-application, some of a three-story building, even though it's set back now 30 feet from West Branch, we're going to be looking at an elevation change of approximately upwards to 50 feet. And we just don't see that type of intensity of use in the city of Arroyo Grande. Back in December of 2004, in the pre-application stages, I made it very clear that I would certainly support a two-story hotel, but I can't support a three-story hotel at this particular site. And it's not only just the mass of this particular project, because I think it'll be, even though I think the architect has done a good job of trying to soften the mass, but I've seen lots of landscaping proposals. And as I look at this particular proposal, which is attachment 8 that we've been presented this evening, what I'm seeing is trees in front of a three-story hotel trying to mask the intensity of scale here that actually have 30-foot canopies. You're not going to have a 30-foot canopy tree in front of this motel because you're going to lose all your views. So I think it's nice to look at, but the reality is we're not going to see this. And even if we saw this would be 20 years out. And at that point, we'd be talking about removing these trees because it's impacting the views of the folks that are visiting. But so I think it's unrealistic, and I don't think it's appropriate. I think if we were to have an appropriate size, a two-story motel at this particular location. We wouldn't have to mass it as much as we're trying to do here. I think by also reducing the number of units, we would be able to do a couple of things. We would be able to address, first and foremost, our water issues. I don't think the negative declaration is appropriate in regards to the impact on water use. We're seeing right now a land use change that approved approximately 2.5 acre feet for office. Two and a half acre feet of water per year for the approved office units that are there now. And now we're looking at bumping that up to a hotel and a restaurant that's looking at over 18.5 acre feet of water, which is a net increase of over 16 acre feet. That's significant. And with that type of significant change in land use, I think we need to have appropriate reasonable mitigation measures other than the ones that are going to be required anyways. So I don't find those to be adequate. I think by reducing the size and scale in the units, we would also be able to probably reconfigure this particular site to look at some of these trees that have been recommended to be saved instead of having to remove them, some of the oak trees on this particular site. And I think that it would just it would fit in with the slope a lot better on the site as well. And last but not least, the traffic. If we were to reduce the units, we're going to reduce the number of traffic. And this is an area of concern for the city of Arroyo Grande. And I think that we need to be looking at ways of helping mitigate, not trying to stop these types of projects, but look at what's a reasonable and appropriate size.
From that standpoint, I would like to clarify why I will continue to support this. The city is not looking to put a moratorium on our water use. And so we have a finite amount of water that's left, and I think if we're going to spend some of that, I think this is an excellent place to do so. The fact that the project would generate the TOT taxes, it would benefit the other businesses in the area. I know that as we look to do events in the city, it is difficult to find a hotel that has the number of rooms and the convention facilities. So I think there are a number of win-win scenarios associated with doing the hotel. Yes, it's a big building, but it's also in an area where we have a lot of big buildings. The Levitts is by no stretch a small building. The Walmart Center is not a small building. I do believe that trees are a very appropriate way to mitigate some of the mass that will be on this corner. I've talked to a lot of people who have read about the hotel, and actually I was very surprised. Many of them I would have thought might have opposed it, and they felt that this was an absolutely appropriate spot for the hotel. So with the fact that the applicant, I do believe, has done a very good job of trying to mitigate the losses of the oaks, moving the building. I didn't think the building could physically be moved from the last time around. I'm not looking for a smaller hotel here. I think it would be inappropriate to build a small hotel here. I think this is an appropriate use for a site that the city would like to see a hotel on. It's a much better project than the office building will be. And for these reasons, I will definitely support the project tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, I think, as I said last time, I've gone back and forth on this particular project in reviewing it, the number of times that we've reviewed it. And I think that's related to the fact that when you look at the pieces of this, there's pluses and minuses to all the pieces. When we look at this compared to the office project that was previously approved, I mean, clearly I think that it's an improvement to have the access off of Camino Mercado instead of Branch, instead of having this driveway go all the way up through the middle of this. But sort of in exchange for that, we ended up with a much larger total building. I think it's nearly three times as big as the previously approved. Well, it's twice as big as the previously approved project. I do think the hotel use is a much better use. But likewise, in order for this to work as a hotel, it does have to be a significant number of rooms. So there's these trade-outs. On the traffic issue, I think clearly there's an improvement in the a.m. p.m. traffic, but when you look at Sunday afternoon, when between 11 and 12, when this hotel is emptying out, they're all mostly going to be going south. We're going to see significant impacts down Branch Street all the way down through Briscoe in prime time during Sundays. So there's all these series of trade-offs, and it feels like every time I review this, I sort of focus on a different one. Clearly, there's an increase to the city in bed tax revenues. I doubt it's $250,000. Even though I think Hampton is a great product, they'll do really well in this area. But the market just in Arroyo Grande and what's good for this particular area. I guess at this point, I feel that the pluses outweigh the minuses here. I do think that moving the building back on the lot has improved some of the scale issues. It is still a very big building. Based on floor area ratios, I think this is actually the biggest building in Arroyo Grande. I mean, I realize there are bigger buildings, but not when you consider the size of the lot that they're being built on and the height here, even though this has been dug into it. I do think that while we're certainly receiving more income for the city, we're also looking at significantly higher impacts. One is somebody's going to end up paying for this water. And I don't think that we're going to be able to just finesse our way through here. The mitigations that are talked about may very well reduce the ultimate water use of this facility, but it's still 60 more acre feet than was going to be used by the office building. So like I say, I think I can support this tonight. I do think that it's the kind of thing we have to go forward with. I do think the water is an issue, but we're going to have the water issue whether it's this project or the next project. We're going to have to stop approving any buildings at all, any continued building at all, or we're going to have to find more water, or I'm probably the only one that optimistically believes that we might actually achieve this through water conservation, which compared to some other communities we could clearly achieve. So at this point, like I say, I can still be open to being convinced because any one of these issues could be demonstrated to me tonight to be more significant than I'm giving it, but I do I do think at this point I could support it. I do want to add one last deal, and that has to do with the traffic, and that is that the project is going to pay significant fees that we're going to get today that will help keep the Briscoe interchange program in place and maybe help fund it in the end. But on the other hand, clearly we're going to have the impacts from this traffic before that's in place. So it's one of those sort of choices, and at this point, and unless I'm convinced otherwise, I think I could support making that choice to go forward with this with this project tonight and accept some of the impacts that in fact is seriously going to create. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I got a couple of quick questions for staff before I make my comments. When we look at Tree 12, which I believe is right here, that's a driveway. I'm curious, is it possible that this protection could be expanded through here and either you could have a one-lane driveway going up with that protection around the tree, or could we solidify all that and have the driveway over here? Is that conceivable? We lose a couple of parking spaces, but we have a few parking spaces to play with here.
We did several different iterations of the grading plan with the local engineering consultant. The basic problem in that area is the connecting ramp between the second parking tier and the top parking tier. Even with its gradient, changes the ground elevation around that oak very substantially. I don't remember the. I believe that the elevation change is over 6 feet at the foot of the oak. So the oak is in jeopardy because of the vertical change.
So there's no way to save that tree?
There was no way to save that particular tree. We did discuss the possibility of relocating that tree. It's relatively small compared to the two trees that were proposed for transplant. And the transplant includes an oak at the front edge of the hotel in that peninsula that sticks out between the upper terrace and the handicap parking directly at the front entry. One of the large trees will be moved adjacent to where tree number 12 currently is. The other tree would move out into the upper, between the upper and the second terrace, so that there would be two trees basically screening the view of the retaining wall that is at the north boundary.
Okay, and another question. I'm looking through the conditions in the document here, and I see the provisions for the paying of the fee for the traffic signalization, but I don't see anything about the timing of that. What is the timing of the signalization with this project?
The signalization project has been fully designed, approved now by the city and Caltrans. Don Spagnuolo is present. He might be able to give you the program for the actual bid and installation of that. I think the condition or mitigation measure that's provided for is the signal must be operational before the occupancy, and I believe it has to be assured in the sense of the city having established the bidding process and scheduled the installation prior to the issuance of the building permit.
Thank you. Okay, my comments about this project, I'll be fairly short and sweet. We decided that this is a perfect place for a hotel, and we invited people to come forward with proposals for that. I don't find this to be a problem with size. I think we've been able to scale it down. Economies being the way they are, if we're going to have a hotel here, I don't think we're going to get a small one, so this is probably one of the best options we might have. I am concerned about water, and I think that I'm willing to approve this project, condition on the acquisition of adequate water. If we get ready to open this hotel and we're not using water for it yet and we're at 100% of use or 99% of use, I'm going to have a real problem with the doors opening. So I think that we're going to have to make sure that the water is going to be there, and I can't just take on a promise that we're going to get it. So I think we have to condition this somehow to say that there has to be adequate water provided for this facility to open. Traffic and circulation, I think that getting the traffic signal into this intersection is going to be about the best improvement we're going to be able to make in the near future and probably in the intermediate future. Until such time as we're able to get a full-blown reconstruction, rehabilitation done down further where 101 comes in and the on and off ramp, in trying to save the trees. I was hopeful we might be able to save 12, but I understand the grading problems are going to make that not a possibility. So I can support this project tonight, Mr. Mayor, based on the conditioning of water being available and trees being provided replacements at the appropriate ratio with as large specimens as possible, as large replacements as possible.
Okay, thank you. Well, the issue of water is still open. I want to add my commentary to some of the observations that have already been made. I concur with the Mayor Pro Tem on if, in fact, this project is approved this evening, and it appears that it's headed in that direction, that that there be a condition in place with regard to acquisition of additional water, be it from Oceano or from whatever source. I understand Councilmember Guthrie's experience with conservation measures. I don't think there's any amount of discussion or examples or illustrations of what has happened in other cities that will make me feel comfortable with conservation as a mitigation for continued high-density development. I'm sorry, but I can't get comfortable with that. And I think the reason why is if we look, and you know, when I first got on the council, we found ourselves falling into this trap we begin to consider things like water and traffic on an individual project basis. That was and continues to be, in my mind, a gross error. We need to step back and we need to look at planning as a whole, and we need to look at the way in which this community is developing and growing. And we have to also consider the impacts of other projects that are in the queue. And what leaves me uncomfortable, particularly with the water issue, are those other projects. And if we look at what's happening down on Grand Avenue, if we look at how many senior apartments are going in there on the corner of Cortland and Grand?
108. Those were figured in the numbers that we presented to you this evening, though.
But we figure that in, and then we have occupancy, and then we have consumption. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves backed into a corner. That's what has happened to us. That's what's led us to this position. And I'm not faulting anyone for that. It just seems as though there's a gap between planning and mitigation and then what ultimately results in reality. And I understand you take your best shot and you hope for the best, but we haven't been very successful in hitting our mark when it comes to water. So we have the senior apartments at Cortland and Graham. We have additional development across the street relates to water. I agree with the Mayor Pro Tem before I'm in, and he indicated before occupancy, I think before building begins, before permits are issued, we need to have some additional clarity as to our hoped-for success in water acquisition from Oceano. I'd like to see that come into focus a little bit better than where we are right now, Steve, as in terms of just at the talking stages. Ms. Harden's comments with regard to traffic, gosh, have we been over the traffic impacts time and time and time again, not just there, but that entire circulation segment that extends south through Briscoe all the way to Grand. That frontage road corridor all the way down is problematic. And I think that once the mitigation measures and, fortunately we have some of our Prop 42 money restored, so I'm hoping that some of the mitigation measures that are affecting or will affect the other portions of that circulation segment farther south, together with what I'm hearing from the council is a insistence that we have signalization at this intersection before the project is in. So I think the combination of that is going to be the best deal we can get under the circumstances. And you've heard me say it before, under the circumstances, the only way we were going to really fix it 100% is to rip up the town and plan it differently from the very beginning. And we can't do that, obviously. We have to play the cards that we have. In terms of the nature of this development office with in comparison to a hotel usage, in my mind, that's a non-issue. And I'm not coming at this so much from an economic standpoint. While economics are important, to me, they are not the sole driver or motivation for approving projects. They never have been for me, and they never will be. There are many other considerations. One of them is services that a particular project can provide for the community that community does not already have. And in my mind, the hotel and lodging is certainly something that we desperately need, particularly the meeting space. I have mixed emotions about the size and the scale, and I do have a question. And I raised this question, and there was some effort on the part of the applicant to correct the elevation that faces west towards the freeway. If I could ask Mr. Tuttle, There you are. You took your coat off. I don't blame you. It's getting warm in here. Could you put up the west elevation? You had a drawing that you showed earlier. There was one in color, or was that it?
Oh, yes.
Maybe it's in many other places to include North County. I know that what happened was that that you went back and you put in some additional articulation. What I would like to see as a condition of approval on all of these flat plane windows is at least some form of architectural treatment, facade, shadow box kind of thing that gives that flat plane some additional dimension. And I think this elevation in particular you need to finish what you started, in my mind. This is going to be the most visible. It's going to be a decision point for a lot of people who are on the freeway and happen to see it. They're going to make a decision as to whether they want to pull off and spend the night, which we hope they do, versus continuing to drive south or north. We want it to be an eye catcher, at least I do. And part of that process is configuring this visual elevation in a more pleasing way. So I would like to see some additional window treatment in that area. The picture that you showed of the retaining wall, somebody else mentioned that. I can't remember who. I have seen that before. I believe that given the radical change in grade in this particular location, that is probably the best fix that we could apply here. But it leads me back to the issue that I raised again when you were here last, and that is that and we're going to have to be ready to do this, and we're going to have to be ready to monitor it. I suspect there's going to be substantial excavation and removal of soils in areas where landscaping is going to occur. The success in terms of the visual impact of the landscaping treatment that works in conjunction with that retaining wall network, that's only going to work if those plants grow. And we have seen, particularly in this area where there has been where there has not been a substantial removal and replacement of soil, that is horrible stuff up there, and there's been insufficient irrigation to continue to sustain growth. And as a result, we never see those vines climb up those walls. We never see the gray concrete covered up. That's not what I want to see happen here. So I think we need to really earmark the landscaping portion of this and make sure that we monitor it closely and that there is sufficient steps taken for soil removal, bring in some good soil, and that there is adequate drip irrigation so that the rendering that you show does indeed become a reality. I'm certainly not 100% pleased with the size and the scale, and I understand Councilmember Dickens' concern. I had this. That, to me, is extremely important that we monitor this closely. With those comments and with those conditions, I think I can move ahead and support this evening. And with regard to the tree issue, if you could just humor me on this one, Rob, and I know that you've been over it, but while Joe was unwrapping the map up here, the site plan, we looked at tree 12, and Joe came up with just a rerouting scheme that was just a few feet difference on that driveway. If you could just take another look, I'd feel a lot more comfortable that we went the extra mile. on Tree 12. So maybe he can show you that drawing. And
I would appreciate that. I'm sure the engineer and designers would appreciate it. We will do everything we possibly can to perfect the landscape and grading plan to the maximum benefit of retention of trees.
Okay, thanks. Those are my comments. Any other comments to be added at this point?
I just wonder if either you or Mayor Pro Tem could articulate what you're looking for in the water agreement as it relates to this project. Is it just that there's additional water that the city has contracted for lack of a better word, that there's 15 acre feet? This is in order to create the motion.
What I'm looking for, Jim, is for us to be much farther along with a certain degree of certainty that the Oceano Agreement is, in fact, going to become a reality, and that it will be, as Steve indicated, maybe at this point it's a contingency, just a backup, a reserve, if you will. But if we have another drought year, which is likely to come, and we're back up to a 97 or a 98% consumption, then it doesn't become a reserve. It becomes vital to our overall water supply. So what I want to see is us moving forward with some degree of certainty that that we're going to be able to successfully acquire as much as we possibly can negotiate with Oceano until the rest of our water strategies engage. So that's all I'm asking for. I don't know about the Mayor Pro Tem. Maybe you want to add to that, Joe.
Well, I see the demand projected here at 3,723 acre feet, and our supply is, 3,688? So if we're going to be at 3,723 acre feet with this project, we're using over 100% of our water. So I just want to make sure that we've got that additional water before we go forward.
And I guess that's what I was looking for, is how would we condition this? I understand, a better degree of certainty. Are we looking at conditioning this project that there would be, I'm just going to pick a number because I don't want to do the math in my head, but there would be an agreement in place to cover the projected?
Projections showed that was the case. The two things that were critical, really the only one thing that was critical in doing that was the construction of well number 10. But then we also mentioned some agreement with Oceano in case there's some gap in addition to that. So one suggestion for a possible condition would be to condition it that no building permits would be issued until an agreement is in place with Oceano and the contract for construction of well number 10 is approved by the City Council. So that would give you a fairly good comfort level. Those two things are in place and would be able to accommodate this project.
And that would, in your mind, Steve, at this point, that would get us to where Mayor Pro Tem was indicating concern over the gap between supply and demand here?
These numbers show us, or basically a situation without even having Oceano involved in the measures. And also, we feel we have some pretty conservative estimates here. If you look at well number 10, we're hoping to get closer to 200 acre feet per year than the 100. So we've tried to be conservative in these estimates, but that's really the only unsure factor at this point. Although we're moving ahead, we're pretty confident. But if you wanted to tighten that up a little bit to make a condition that contract actually gets approved, then that'll add a little more teeth to it and prohibit them from proceeding until we have that firmly in place.
Well, that would give me a higher comfort level on the water issue. That's just my position. I don't know how everyone else feels, but at least we can look back and if the worst should occur, we can say, yeah, we did everything we could under the circumstances.
I think it should give you a comfort level. Also, on the track we're on, hopefully it shouldn't slow down the project at all. We expect to have these things in place before they would be at the point of needing to pull building permits.
I'd be comfortable with that language.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay. Motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adopting a mitigated negative declaration approving tentative parcel map 05-003 and conditional use permit specific development plan case number 04-009, allowing the construction of a hotel and restaurant located at 1400 West Branch Street, as applied for by Stephen Cool and Gary White, with the additional conditions that adequate water is available prior to permits issuing, conditioned on the contract for Well 10 being issued and the Oceana Water Agreement being signed, that trees 5A, 6, 7, and 12 are transplanted, that mitigated trees are a minimum of 36 inches boxed with a minimum of 50% of the...
Hearing none, roll call.
I did.
Mayor Pro Tem seconded. Sir, did we leave something out?
I always get nervous when I don't understand the motion, and I didn't understand the motion. I mean, I'm sure it was thorough, but I didn't write it all down so I could read it and understand it. But the clerk indicates that she has, so.
And I wrote it down, so if you'd like my notes when I'm done, I'll give them to you.
It's clear to me that Councilmember Arnold can say this thing over and over again if he needs to, so.
Well, I'm concerned. The one issue I was a little concerned about, the bond itself, that was a two-year tree bond.
Yeah, basically, it's a two-year landscaping monitoring bond. That'll have to be determined what the value is of that. But basically, what I'm looking for is something beyond the performance bond that the stuff actually gets installed, but that after the final, that the stuff actually survives.
I took the liberty of jamming that into condition number 120, which deals with all the securities, just as to simplify it, a two-year tree replacement guarantee. This will be the fourth bullet point on condition 120. Two-year tree replacement guarantee, 100% of the estimated cost of all mitigation replacement and relocated trees as determined by the Parks, Recreation, and Facilities Director. Is that what you had in mind with regard to the mitigation trees and the replacement trees?
I mean, well, actually, there was also a size issue with the mitigation, though, also, which was that...
I'm separating the two. In other words, okay. First you had the sizes, the 36 and the
48s,
and then you had the separate security bonds. So we'll separate those out. And
okay.
I think I'm comfortable with that now. And again, I just want to clarify the condition with respect to water. I'm not getting a specific wording, and I think it's really important we have specific wording in the conditions of approval. Were you comfortable with the way it had taken shape?
I was comfortable with what the manager had provided for us.
You want to read that back? Well, this is what I got out of it. Prior to issuance of building permits, a contract for the construction of City Well Number 10 shall be fully approved, and an agreement with the Oceano Community Services District for additional water supply shall be fully approved by the city.
Yes, that's acceptable to me.
So we'll make that condition 124, and then we'll modify condition 120. And then the modification, just so to make it a little more formal so we see it in there, the condition on tree size, I believe, was condition 24. And again, that's the part I missed.
Basically, I was saying the mitigation would be a minimum of 36-inch box with 50% of the mitigated trees being 48 inches or larger.
Okay, and we'll make that modification to condition 25 and as otherwise necessary. Sorry about that.
That's okay, but what you did was raise another question. Sorry about that, but I was listening to Councilmember Arnold's motion with regard to the landscaping, the security aspects to the bond for the landscaping. It extends beyond the trees, does it not?
Yes, it is for all landscaping.
Not just trees.
Correct.
Okay.
So if we're going to make that amendment
I'm glad you caught that. Then we'll modify it to sorry for this, always fumbling through 124 conditions.
Second, and I think we've discussed this about as far as we can this evening. So roll call, please.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
No.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I believe there's another ordinance that I need to propose.
Right.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending the zoning map to designate the subject property as Plan Development 1.1, PD-1.1, Development Code Amendment 05-008, initiated by the City of Arroyo Grande for property located at 1400 West Branch Street.
Seconded.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
No.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. And is there one more in there?
The other one would be an attachment.
That should be it.
Do we need to do the negative deck?
It's included in the resolution.
Okay. Okay, I think that's it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm being asked for a 5-minute break. Let's make it about 6 minutes. Come back at 9:45.